Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey everybody, it's Tony Robbins.
Hey guys, I'm Audrina Patrick.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
You're on the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're watching Hollywood Raw.
You're listening to and watching Hollywood Raw.
This is the Hollywood Raw podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glynn. The podcast humanizing Hollywood. From celebrities to media moguls, even paparazzi and bodyguards have come to break news, break their silence, or just have a great conversation on Hollywood Raw. If they're on Hollywood Raw, there's a reason. From Page Six to TMZ, Daily Mail, and People Magazine, everyone is talking about the Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax Holt and Adam Glynn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw podcast. My name is Adam Glynn. Dax Holt is not with me today. He's with me in life, but today I'm doing this solo because he's running around and Jessica Finn had the time right now. We really wanted to take advantage of her free time. Dax wasn't available and I was available. So we are doing today's podcast. Jessica Finn is a senior reporter at the U.S. Sun. I love her. She's great to talk to because she knows everything about her stories. And she's been working on the Wendy Williams story. She's been putting so many hours on. In fact, all the stories you've been reading on any single news outlet pretty much comes from Jessica. She's been the one that's really putting gas on this story. Jessica and I used to work at TMZ back in the day. She's also worked for a bunch of other news outlets. So I'm excited to talk to Jessica and have her break all the news to me regarding the latest of with what's going on Wendy Williams. Also, we're going to get into Janelle Evans because she broke the story regarding her separation. Janelle Evans from 16 and Pregnant or Teen Mom, whatever show she was on. Isn't it crazy that people still have interest in Teen Mom? Or I don't know. I never watched the show, but people love that show. Oh, man. No, it's funny. So I wasn't here last week when we did the Raw Rundown. One of the stories on the Raw Rundown was Taylor Swift's dad getting into a fight with the paparazzi and getting physical with them. And I wasn't able to comment on the story. This is, I believe, the paparazzi in this situation. Years ago, I got into a physical altercation with her dad. Her dad, I had a tip that Taylor was going to a Target in Harlem to kind of take photos with her album. She had a new album coming out, and she was going to make random surprise appearances at different Target stores. So I went to the Target where she was supposed to be, and you know, the company I was working for had the heads up that she was going to make us, you know, and there's other photographers there that she was going to get a heads up, like she was going to stop in. And I'm waiting there, and Taylor's walking in. And this wasn't when it was like Taylor Swift mania. She was popular. She was big, but it wasn't what it was today. And I was waiting there. I remember it was a nice day, warm out, and Taylor Swift comes walking to the store, and I try to start walking with her and try to talk to her like I do for my job for Taylor Swift entering the store. And I remember this old guy comes up to me, grabs me, throws me against a wall, tries to get me thrown out, gets physical with me. I was like, this is like years ago. And I was sort of like, it was actually my second physical altercation while doing the job. First was with Gary Coleman's parents' manager, and the second was this. And I didn't even know who he was. This old guy grabbed me, threw me against the wall, and what he didn't punch me, but I remember like startled, like, dude, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm here because it's promotional stuff. So in my opinion, if he did it once, he would do it twice. I'm team paparazzi in this situation. I don't know how that story is going to end, but that was my interaction dealing with Taylor Swift's father. And at the time, I didn't even know that was her dad. He was an old guy then. He's an old guy now. I just thought it was some random old guy who could have been just at the Target in Harlem. Okay, that was my story time of the day. We are not going to read a review today. We're going to get right to our guest today. Our guest today is a senior reporter at the U.S. Sun. She's broken so many stories over the years, including the one that's currently going on with Wendy Williams. Please welcome Jessica Finn. Wendy Williams has taken over, I think, all the tabloids, all the news sites recently. You've been on this story since the beginning. I mean, you've been so – you've been taking a deep dive in the whole Wendy Williams – I don't want to say spiral, but downfall. But, I mean, it's been a tough situation. Where did it all begin? When was the point, the breaking point for Wendy Williams?
Wendy's been on the downward trajectory for some time now. I mean, I think that anybody who wants to say that this is all because she had a traumatic experience when her husband had got his mistress pregnant, I think they're really short-selling what Wendy's been through. Wendy kind of has been drinking for a long time, and her drinking really kind of came to a head in 2019, where it was no longer manageable, where it was becoming clear that she was having a really rough time with it. But even before that, when she fainted in the Statue of Liberty costume in 2017, there were inklings. There was rumbling. She was slurring on camera. Production was starting to notice. So there was already kind of like this undercurrent of what's wrong with Wendy, what's happening with Wendy. And then in 2019, when her husband did get this mistress pregnant, she ended up going to rehab. And that's kind of where we started to begin to really see Wendy's unraveling, I guess, if you will. And it's unfortunate because it's not something that couldn't have maybe been prevented to some extent. From my reporting, and this is a story that I've been working on for 2 years now, is that in 2019, she was diagnosed with alcohol-related brain damage. It's actually alcohol-induced brain damage specifically. And she was diagnosed while she was at a rehab in Florida, right on the heels of this mistress's pregnancy being revealed. And on her way back, after the doctors told her and her son and her husband at the time that this is a problem, that you're going to continue to get worse if you keep drinking, that eventually you'll start forgetting people's names, you'll start forgetting, you know, where you are, you're not going to be able to hold conversations. So they warned her of all these things that eventually would come to pass in 2019. And on the plane back, she took a private jet back, and she got so drunk on the jet back that they had to bring her to the hospital in New York City that night.
Wow.
Because she had alcohol poisoning. So Wendy never stopped drinking, despite this really, really dark and ominous warning from doctors in Delray Beach at the rehab she was in. She kept at it. And so then, you know, she ultimately divorced Kevin, and she would go on to kind of live her life on her own in the city. She got this penthouse apartment that was $4.5 million. And, you know, nobody was really around to kind of keep her in check. And she just kept drinking. And so then there was several incidents over the years where Wendy had, you know, been hospitalized for inebriation. And there was one incident in 2020 during the at-home tapings where Wendy was hospitalized and had 3 blood transfusions during her hospitalization. And the whole time production was saying things like, oh, she just has a bout of Graves' disease. Like they would just brush it off. So the public had no idea. And this is stuff that I've been covering and that I've been putting out into the ether, you know, for the last 2 years that there's something clearly wrong with Wendy, and it has to do with alcohol. And so, you know, this docuseries really gave people like a glimpse into what Wendy's been struggling with for real, you know. And it's interesting because right as I was about to release my story on Wendy being diagnosed with alcohol-related brain damage, and I was about to release it right before the documentary aired that weekend, that first premiere weekend that it aired, and I had called the conservator, because the conservator is, by everybody's account, the only person in touch with Wendy. So I did my due diligence the night before we released the story. I said, hey, listen, Sabrina, you know, I have this information that Wendy was diagnosed with alcohol-related brain damage in 2019. And of course, I never heard back, and I didn't expect to hear back, right? And so we were about to publish the story on Thursday morning. And as we're about to hit publish, I start getting alerts from TMZ, from Daily Mail, from People, from Us Weekly. Wendy's diagnosed with frontal temporal aphasia, same thing as Bruce Willis. And this is all a press release coordinated by the conservator, who has now released this press release to all of the competitors. Not me. I didn't get this press release, but to ensure that all the competitors got this information. So my story, my really important story, and something that I'm really passionate about covering, and kind of sharing this information about Wendy's diagnosis, just got completely steamrolled in the news cycle.
Wow. That is strategic on their end. And, I mean, it's funny because I guess you have been, I wouldn't say an enemy, but you've been just covering the story so much where they're just, she knows too much. We need to kind of control the narrative on her team. So let me start from the beginning a little bit. So the drinking for Wendy, did it start? I mean, do you know if it started because of the issues she was having with her relationship? Is this something she was battling always, or where did that kind of really start to escalate?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it sounds like this is something she's battled. She's always battled addiction issues. She's been really open about how when she was in radio, she had a really bad problem with cocaine. So, you know, everybody knew, from what I understand, from what I've heard from people close to her, everyone knew in the New York City circles, Wendy was a quote unquote cokehead, which is a horrible, you know, thing to call somebody. But this is what the whispers were behind her back. And she really struggled with that. And she was able to kind of kick the coke habit. And then eventually she got into the drinking. She picked up, from what I understand, it went from coke to cigarettes to drinking. And the drinking got really heavy. It sounds like the drinking really started to tick up in 2017. And here you have a woman who's, you know, she's not healthy. She has Graves' disease. She has lymphedema. She has a thyroid condition. So she's already not healthy, but she's also not an old woman. You know, she is 59 years old. This year she'll be 60. She'll be 60 in July. This is an old woman. And for her to be diagnosed with this, like, you know, basically this dementia that's been alcohol induced is just tragic. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. And from what I understand, she's progressed from like drinking wine to drinking vodka over the last couple of years. So she's really kind of put the nail in the coffin as far as what her outcome or her cognitive outcome would be since she's kind of been on her own. It seems like maybe the pandemic threw her off kilter even further. She just kind of kept falling and stumbling and never got her footing, you know, never able to get her footing and to get any kind of help that she needed.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
How was she to work for? You know, you have a lot of sources when it comes to Wendy Williams. From the people you spoke with, how did they say working with Wendy Williams was?
It sounds like it really depended on the Wendy that you got, to be honest. I've heard really horrible stories about working for Wendy. I've heard stories of inappropriate behavior, of maybe some would say maybe harassment, that she was often a little too touchy-feely, maybe, I guess, and also not very nice to women in general. I've typically heard more often than not, I've heard not great things about what working for Wendy was like. But every now and then you hear like a gem of a story. I was reading, somebody in production had posted something about how Wendy was her like mentor and how she really took her under her wing and how she would never have the career she has today if it weren't for Wendy. So, you know, you have to balance out what that means. And I think really, again, at the end of the day, it's what Wendy did you get? Did you get the Wendy who may have been drinking too much, or did you get the clear Wendy who could have been a good mentor to you? It's really
depends
on the day.
So looking back at this story, because there's been so many stories that you actually have been on the forefront of working on, did Wendy step down from the show, or was she forced out of the show?
She was totally forced out of the show. I mean, like, she had gone absent the entire last season, and, you know, they had made – Debmore Mercury had made do with a series of fill-in hosts. And I think there was no coming back from that, really. The writing was on the wall. And I think the thing is that Wendy, what people didn't understand at that time and something that I kept reporting about was that Wendy wasn't able to take on a TV show at that point in time. Wendy very well still isn't able to take on a TV show. I don't think that Wendy will ever be able to do live TV again. And so people were so mad and so upset that Sherry got the show and all this. It's like Wendy lost the show because Wendy wasn't able to do it anymore. Like,
it was wild. She was so good at that show, to sit there as a solo show and 5 days a week, people talk for 30 minutes, bring on a guest. She was able to look in the camera and speak her mind. That is a very difficult skill. I mean, look at Kelly Ripa. She has to have her husband there. She has to have a partner. There's not too many people that could kind of do what she did.
She had God-given talent. God-given
she
talent.
She really did.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, to have a solo radio show and be able to talk for hours by herself and just talking to a microphone, she was really good. The ratings of the docuseries have been incredible. You know, the numbers have been good, right?
Yeah. Lifetime put out a release earlier this week that said they had 7.7 million viewers so far. It was, I think, the second highest documentary released in like the last 2 years. Really strong numbers. And I think that as exploitative as the series may come off, I think it did a service on a lot of different fronts to people in general and to Wendy herself.
Yeah. But my question is, obviously there's some interest in Wendy. Some people kind of are interested in the downfall spot. It's good content. It's good TV as a viewer. I mean, I know it's sad, but that's just, it is what it is. With the people having so much interest in this, do you think there's a chance that the networks would say, let's give Wendy another shot?
You know, I know that Wendy, the really tragic thing about all this is that it was preventable, right? I think in it seems pretty clear that this is something that could have been thwarted or at least curbed to some extent. I think people are always going to be wanting to get Wendy back and they're always going to want to see Wendy again, but I just don't know if she's capable. And I don't know if anybody is going to want to pay for the insurance that it would cost to bring her in. And, you know, I can't even imagine like what those insurance deductibles would be for bringing somebody with diagnosed dementia, clearly back on in front of cameras, you know, on a regular basis. You know, I could see her maybe coming and showing up to a taping of The View, or I could see her coming and doing some interviews with people once she's out of this really intensive treatment that she seems to be in. But I can't imagine her having her own thing at this point.
Yeah. Wendy, she has a financial guardian right now, correct?
Yeah.
So is she making money off this Lifetime documentary, or is the network just really profiting? Did she agree to this just so she could pay off some of her debt? Or what's the story there?
So Wendy went into the guardianship without, she didn't really have debt. I mean, the problem was that Wells Fargo cut off her accounts, flipped her over to a financial guardian who took over everything. So Wendy doesn't have access to her money, right? So whatever money she had at the start of this guardianship, she didn't have access to. So the guardian had to sign off on her doing any of the projects she did over the last 2 years. The guardian took over in early 2022. So for the last 2 years, anything Wendy did, so like the podcast she was supposed to launch, this Lifetime docuseries, all of those little deals, the women's expo that she bowed out at the last minute, those were signed off by the guardian. So Lifetime did, from my understanding, Lifetime would have paid her, but I don't know where that money goes. Like, I don't know if the money goes into the Wells Fargo accounts that she can't access. And at some point, Wendy certainly, it sounds like Wendy did want to do this. She did agree to doing this. She signed documents to do this. But who knows if she understood what she was signing? Who knows if she understood that this was going to be a docuseries? I mean, I can't imagine that she, first of all, as I reported, there were times where she thought she was filming podcast promotions with the camera crew around her that she didn't realize it was a docuseries. So I had reported that before it was released. And then in the docuseries, you can see her saying to her son and her nephew, hey, no, we're filming podcast promotions. She literally said it on camera during the series running. So, you know, as much as she could have agreed to something, who knows if that was really, you know, something she had, you know, been able to agree to. But we do know that the conservator would have had to have signed off on this when she initially got involved. And I think the conservator got a little spooked in the run up to it and saw how damaging this was going to be. And that's why the conservator did at some point try and get Lifetime to pull the docuseries before it ran in the days leading up to it.
Like I said before, Jessica Finn, who's our guest right now, has been breaking so many stories with the Wendy Williams case. Has Wendy personally reached out to you and said, hey, let me just be honest with you. Let's talk off the record. Let me just set the story straight with you because you've been breaking so many stories. Has it gotten to that point with her where she just jumps on the phone with you real quick? Or is she just not that coherent at the moment to really have that type of conversation?
I wish she could. I honestly could tell you, I don't believe she knows who I am. And I'm going to tell you why, because I don't think she knows how to use the internet anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
That's so, like, where is their ex? Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Go on.
So all of these stories that I've broken, and then watching publicists release statements on her behalf, I'm like, she doesn't know. She has no idea that this is happening. She has no idea that people are, you know, that her publicist debunked. She had told Jason Lee from Hollywood. She had told Jason Lee that she was married, and it was this whole big thing. And then her manager released these statements saying she's not married. She got ahead of herself and all this. And I'm like, I don't think Wendy has any idea that he released these statements. I don't think she ever saw Jason Lee's pickup on the story. Like, she's not engaged like that, like in anything happening around her or about her.
Yeah. What is her ex-husband? Where has he been through all this in the past few months? We haven't heard his name brought up. How is he dealing with this? Obviously, they have a son. Where does he stand with all this?
Yeah, he's been pretty low-key, I think. I think he's been trying to keep his nose clean with all of this. I mean, obviously, it's a messy situation, this Lifetime documentary. And I think that he's been trying to stay above the fray is kind of the vibe I've been getting from, like, his neck of the woods, basically.
He's
trying to stay out of it. And I think it came as a surprise to everybody that the son was involved in this docuseries, that Wendy's son, Kevin Hunter Jr., was involved in the docuseries. I think that maybe was probably a shock for a lot of people that are close to Wendy, that this kid ended up jumping in at the last minute and participating.
So let me ask you this, and this is what's going on. We see a lot of stories, a lot of the internet people speak. Is Wendy broke?
Is Wendy broke? That's a great question. So I should have some stories coming out this week about that question, about the quest to get that question answered. There are going to be some court filings that I should have in my possession soon that are going to try and uncover the question of, does Wendy still have money? I don't know if we're going to find out ever if Wendy does or does not have money, but there are people that are trying to find that out. People are trying to see what happened to Wendy's money, why, you know, this conservator took over, and then all of a sudden Wendy has no money, and people are like, well, if she has no money, where did the money go? So that's kind of a big question mark still in the saga.
Let me ask you a personal question. Why are you so obsessed with this story? What attracts you to this story? I mean, I know you keep every week you've been breaking one to two stories a week regarding this, but what personally attracts you to this story as a veteran journalist?
I mean, that's it, right? Wendy is a veteran journalist. She's a female journalist that works in entertainment news. That is what she is. She is me, right? She is me. She is you. She is this woman who is on top of her game, who had the world by the proverbial balls, as my father would say, and she lost it all from drinking. And that is that's the saddest cautionary tale one can have, right? And, you know, I got involved and I felt passionate about it because you just get a couple of sources and you get a couple more sources. And next thing you know, you have like 20 sources on somebody and you really kind of get the whole scope of a person, who a person is when you get a ton of sources around them. And I think at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, this is just an incredible story, and she has been exploited and she is still being exploited to this day. And I feel like, you know, my heart goes out to her on a lot of different levels. And watching, like, the specifically the alcoholism part, like, I've grown up with alcoholism in my family as a result of, in part because of my reporting on Wendy, I quit drinking. I haven't had a drink in a year. And that's in large part because of Wendy's diagnosis. Like, you see this woman who had it all and just lost everything because she couldn't stop drinking. So I don't know. The documentary is great for that reason and that reason alone, to show people, you know, what can happen if you're drinking too much, you know?
Yeah. So you mentioned before, right before you're about to break a story on Wendy, her team sent out a press release to everyone except you that she had this same disease as Bruce Willis, the frontotemporal dementia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think she actually has that, or do you think that her team was just trying to push a narrative so people don't have an opinion about her?
So I think she probably does have that, right? So that was diagnosed in 2023, according to the press release, which was not sent to me. But that was diagnosed in 2023. So Wendy's alcohol-induced brain damage was in 2019. So it was like a precursor to the dementia that she's now experiencing, right? Like, I don't think without the 2019 diagnosis, we wouldn't have a 2023 diagnosis. And I think that the reason why the conservator put out that statement is really interesting. At least I find it interesting. I think that that statement and that release of this 2023 diagnosis was in part so that the conservator could be like, well, we didn't know what was wrong with Wendy before then. I didn't know that she had this alcohol-induced brain damage. Look, in 2023, we got this Bruce Willis aphasia diagnosis, and so that's what's wrong with her. But you've been her conservator since 2022. So how did you not know that there was something really, really wrong with her until 2023? You're going to tell me that you took this woman on as a ward, this public figure, that you took her on as a ward and you had no clue what was wrong with her until you finally got her help in 2023 and you let her get drunk all over Manhattan under your watch and you had no idea that she had this issue. You had no idea that she had major cognitive deficiencies and yet you allowed her to keep drinking. You became her conservator for a reason. So clearly in releasing this 2023 diagnosis, Sabrina wanted to be like, I didn't know what was wrong with her. I couldn't have told you that she had brain damage from drinking. I let her keep drinking because I didn't know any better. That's why she decided to release what she decided to release when she decided to release it, was because it would have been damning to be like, hey, she has alcohol-related brain damage and you've let her keep drinking under your watch. And that's what happened.
I remember seeing Wendy around New York City. This is probably within the last 9 months. This is when she broke up with her husband. She was sort of going out with younger guys. I'd see her out like late at night at a club, like 1:30 in the morning. She would come into a club. She would sit like on top of the couch, like, and she'd be there for like 25 minutes and then leave. And it was like, oh, Wendy Williams is coming. And it was very odd because even before that, I would see her out around time to time. And the Wendy you saw on TV was the exact opposite of what you saw in person. She was kind of very quiet. Her eyes were always very large and like very open, but it was, you know, sometimes I've seen that. I'm sure you have, like when you meet radio people in person, they're very well-spoken in front of a mic, but when it comes to kind of talking in a social element, they're a little bit socially awkward. So I was like, maybe that's just how she is.
Yeah.
How, you know, Charlamagne the God, who used to work with Wendy for a long time, he said he was surprised that her family agreed about working on this series, the Lifetime series.
Yeah.
How is the family feeling right now now that it's all out, people are watching this video, how is her family thinking about this decision?
I think they're still happy with it. I mean, I think that they've been kind of dragged a little bit. The real Wendy fans, I think, have dragged them a little bit for participating. But I think for the most part, they're happy with the outcome. They're happy that there's now eyes, like, you know, there was already eyes on Wendy. We there's obviously been interest in Wendy. There's 7.7 million viewers of Lifetime's docuseries who prove it. But I think they're happy that they have brought some things to light with the conservatorship. And beyond that, with Wendy's drinking, one of the things that the son did say in the docuseries was that Wendy was diagnosed with alcohol-related brain damage. Like, that was something that came out as a result of his participation in the docuseries. And I think that that was important for him to say and for him to get out there and have just kind of clear the air on what is wrong with my mother kind of thing. And I think that the family is generally happy with participating, because otherwise it would have been very hard to get the awareness brought on what is happening with Wendy's conservatorship and the issues that the family really wants to have her back. The family wants to, you know, have her in their care. And, you know, it seems like the conservatorship under Sabrina hasn't maybe done her all the favors she needs, especially considering it took a very long time for her to be put into a serious treatment facility, you know. Yeah.
How's her team been to work with for you? You call them a lot regarding stories. They're probably like, how does this girl know everything? Have they been transparent with you? Have they been honest with you? Have they been like willing to work with you or what?
No. She's no longer working with the jeweler Will Selby, and she's no longer working with the publicist Sean Zanotti. They got dragged, absolutely dragged online. At one point on Saturday during the premiere, Sean was trending on Twitter. I mean, it was ridiculous. The stuff that they were saying, they were so exploitative. At one point, Sean was like, oh no, Wendy doesn't have a drinking problem. She's never been drunk around me. And you're like, you're just like, how are you serious? Like, it was appalling. And that was the kind of reaction when I would say, hey, Wendy was just passed out in Louis Vuitton with a glass of champagne next to her in the window. You have any comment? Like, Wendy was just celebrating. That was literally the comment, the conversation I've had with her publicist over the years, who knew that Wendy had alcohol-related dementia. And so this is a woman who I did a story about this last week, that Sean Zanotti knew that Wendy had alcohol-related dementia. I know that because she and I had had conversations about it. And yet she still signed Wendy up and was participating in this docuseries. And then she wanted to go on this press tour this past week and say, oh my God, Wendy was exploited. I can't believe this. It's like you were front and center with the exploitation, just front and center.
You know, it's funny. Dax always say, from working on the journalist side of celebrity and pop culture and celebrity news, we would be great publicists. If you were her publicist, if you're Wendy Williams' publicist, how would you handle the situation now? What would you do? And would you even enjoy it? Or is it just a difficult job regardless, just dealing with Wendy and then dealing with the media?
I mean, dealing with Wendy could be, I could only imagine how difficult that is. And what that would be like these days. I her family says she's doing better. I hope that's true. It feels like probably a thankless job. I woke up very grateful not to be Will Selby or Sean Zanotti after watching that docuseries. I was really grateful not to be involved in it in any way. You know, my stories flashed up on the screen, but besides that, I'm so glad that I had nothing to do with it because people were really upset at the two of them. I mean, I can't imagine them ever working with a star again in any real capacity.
So right now, currently, with Wendy Williams, is there light outside the tunnel? Are we seeing rainbows? Is she getting better? Is she getting the help? Does she have possible employment waiting for her when she gets healthy?
So I've heard that she's doing better, but it doesn't sound like she's going to be. Everybody knows she's not going to be 100% ever again. Like, this is not, this woman has been through too much at this point. Physically and mentally, for her to make a recovery that we see, you know, Wendy back on TV, on live TV for sure. I can't imagine that she's going to be steadily employable at any point. I mean, that's just how I see it. You know, that's like putting Bruce saying, hey, let's get Bruce Willis back working. Like it can't happen. It just can't happen. And that's really sad. I think that the light at the end of the tunnel, would be that Wendy's care is maybe reverted back to her family, that her family gets to take care of her. You know, it's really sad that her father doesn't even know where she is. You know, her family doesn't know where she is. She's been in this treatment facility for, like 10 months now. It's like a crazy amount of time, and her immediate family doesn't know where she is. So I think that the light at the end of the tunnel would be that Wendy gets reunited with her family, that there's some light shed on what happened to her finances during this conservatorship and in the months leading up to it, to see if Wendy is or is not actually broke. I think that's the light at the end of the tunnel, is kind of some kind of resolution to this conservatorship that maybe hasn't done right by her, and see what happened to her money. That would be the silver lining here.
Yeah. I want to change subject a little bit. I want to talk about one other story that you actually broke recently I think it was yesterday. You just broke this, teen mom, Janelle Evans. You had a lot to do with this story. You broke that she has filed to be separated from her husband. What's going on with the whole Janelle Evans situation?
Oh my God.
is this a whole nother podcast?
It's like a whole nother thing. But I'm trying to be the Reader's Digest version. I don't know if people know what that is anymore. But Janelle, long story short, Janelle's husband, David, allegedly strangled her son, Jace, who's 14 years old, back in September. David is facing a felony assault by strangulation charge for that, as well as a misdemeanor child abuse charge. Jace was taken away from Janelle and David's care for several months from the Department of Social Services in North Carolina. Janelle was all of a sudden out of nowhere, and to everybody's surprise, the Department of Social Services suddenly voluntarily dropped the case against Janelle and David. And so Jace was brought back to Janelle's house. But the problem is there's a no contact order with David and Jace. Like, so David, because of the felony charges, David and Jace can't be around each other. So Janelle told David, you got to take a hike. You got to go stay. You can't stay here anymore because Jace is now living at my house, at our house. And so David had been living in their boat on their broken down boat that's docked in a marina in nearby North Carolina. And then I guess push came to shove, and Janelle finally got her wherewithal together and filed for separation from this guy. I mean, this is something that this guy, David Eason, has just cost this woman everything. Like, it really started again in 2019. 2019 was such a big year for celebrity news. But in 2019, David shot and killed their French bulldog, Nugget. And so that was the first time the Department of Social Services got involved and actually took all the kids out of the house. And Janelle got kicked off of MTV. So there have been so many times where David has cost this woman money, jobs, employment, reputation. Not that teen moms have great reputations, but, you know, this guy has really cost her has cost her everything. And so it's a shock that she's finally filed for separation. We'll see if it sticks. I hope it does. I hope for the sake of the kids it does, because it doesn't sound like it was a very stable household with him in it. So we'll see.
Jessica Finn from the U.S. Sun, thank you for doing this. It's been great to kind of fill us in everything that's going on with Wendy Williams, and then also Janelle Evans. You're going to have to come back in, and hopefully there's a conclusion to this story, and everyone gets to live in peace and happiness. But Jessica Finn, senior reporter at the U.S. Sun, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Adam. Thank you.
Jessica Finn. Jessica and I, again, used to work together at TMZ back in the day. Then she has just worked at every single news outlet. And when she works on a story, she's like a pit bull journalist. It's so funny because we don't have many of those these days. And so we see people come out and say, oh, I'm an entertainment news reporter. But it's people like Jessica that are the pit bulls of news and actually breaking stories and making news. So make sure you check out her stories on the U.S. Sun. I hope you guys like that. That's just kind of filling you in what's going on with Wendy Williams and then also with Janelle Evans. Sometimes on this podcast, on the weekdays, we like to talk to celebrities, but also people like her that don't get to be heard as much. You read about their stories, but I want to hear the stuff that comes out of her mouth because I want to go straight to the source. That should be the podcast, straight to the source, because that's what it is. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe. If you're listening, make sure to check us out on our TikTok, our Instagram. We also have a private Facebook group called Off the Record. Dax will be with me next week. He's just running around today. It's crazy times. Follow me at Adam Glenn. Follow Dax Holt at Dax Holt. See you guys next week.
A Huda Media Production.